Beautiful. Well, it's 35, so it's cool right now, but going to be nice later on. So looking forward to the good weather once again. It's 2 weeks in a row.
Yep, and very busy weekend. Hope just thankful that all the sports are indoor. So got some busy schedule.
Bartlesville at home this evening in basketball against two very good Sepulpa teams at Bruin Fieldhouse. And, of course, the swimming team has regionals starting today in Jinx, and that's a primer for them to get ready for state, which is in 2 weeks, also at Jinx.
Yeah, you know, the regionals, I think this is the third year for regionals. Used to, it was just all based on the fastest time, and you were seeded throughout the year, and the top teams, individuals and teams made it. Now, 3 years ago, they went to a regional competition. You got to swim at regionals and finish in the top to qualify for state. I don't know why they take a week off, because, swimming, once you start tapering and they start adjusting their diet and their body, and they're ready to go right then, boom, boom, boom. But that'll start today at 5 o'clock. They'll do warm-ups at 3:30. They'll have a coaches meeting right after that, and then they'll start swimming at 5. The 5A schools actually started this morning about 9 o'clock. And it'll be the same thing tomorrow, same schedule tomorrow. So we expect big things, and, I wouldn't doubt if we're not the girls don't win the regionals, and boys should finish in the top three.
And same thing kind of goes for state in a couple weeks. Of course, as we mentioned, that's a couple of weeks off, but both those teams are in the top one or two in the state. Certainly isn't going to be easy to win it by any stretch of the imagination, but they should both be in the conversation in a couple weeks.
Yeah, we've discussed all year, and based on the the times, unless there was some disqualifications or something just wild happened, based on the times throughout the year, the girls' team was very solid and an overwhelming favorite to win the state championship. Boys have it really depends more on how they swim. I mean, they could win, they could finish in the top three, or 4 years running, state runner-ups, which is not a bad feat.
Nope, not bad at all, and we'll keep you covered with that right here on K1 and online at BartlesvilleRadio.com. Talked with Coach Engelhardt earlier this week, and I know that they had some girls that were under the weather, so hopefully that they're all back and ready to go for this weekend's regionals as well.
Yeah, that's the that's the X factor that you never count on, any kind of sickness or injuries that can really, that's why they play the sports, and that's why, the competitions, and you don't just hand somebody the trophy or the medal. You got to go win it, and those are the type of things that that a coach can't control, and that can definitely help decide the outcome of any kind of competition.
Coming down to the end of a lot of the winter sports, and I know some of the spring sports practices are ongoing, and scrimmages, for instance, going to start in baseball here in just a matter of a week or two, so all that's coming down the pike, and obviously basketball's still going as well. I know we talked about this last week, but kind of the final game as far as records go to be turned into the OSSAA for regional seedings in 6A basketball is tonight, even though the season will go for a couple more weeks. And both the Lady Bruins and Bruins will have their hands full with a couple of very good Sepulpa teams, maybe the toughest doubleheader so far of the season.
Yeah, and that's why Tuesday night was there was a lot of pressure. That game and Elma coaches were very disappointed. That was a game that they felt could have been a win, should have been a win, and it kind of takes a little pressure off. Because, as you mentioned, games of tonight, you kind of freeze your record after tonight, and that'll go into the OSSAA this weekend. On Thursday of next week, they will release the seedings for the regional playoffs. So it's kind of important, this week. It's it, how your schedule falls. I know we've asked many times, we, the basketball coaches, have asked the OSSA if they could delay that a week or so for your schedule doesn't play such an important part. Maybe you have some games later on that you can win. And they say that it takes them that long to assign referees and because there's so many games throughout the state. So we have to turn them in, you know, early February. And so we'll know tonight where our schedule is and what our record is. And we'll know a week from today where we're going for playoffs.
And I think you touched on this a little bit last week as well, but it's worth revisiting that, of course, there's more West Side teams. By West Side, I usually mean Oklahoma City area teams than Tulsa area teams in 6A. So they bump a handful of the Oklahoma City area teams to the east side as far as regionals go. And it appears, at least right now, and of course we're just speculating and looking at records and rankings and so on and so forth, that at least a couple of those Oklahoma City area teams are going to be in a position to host on both the girls and the boys' side. So should be interesting to see where the Bruins and a lot of the clubs in the Frontier Valley Conference end up, but it looks likely that it's at least a 50-50 shot that a lot of those teams are going to be heading to the Oklahoma City area.
Well, I think it's safe to say on the boys' side, there's the West Side teams are probably going to host 6 out of the 8 regionals at least. They could get 7. But I know there's a lot of coaches upset that they sent 3 power schools over here to this side. But, you know, there's no guarantee you ever host that it's going to be balanced evenly. There's 3 more West Side teams than there are East, so they have to send 3 every year. I think it's more fair now because this would be the first year that we actually had coupled the boys and girls. In the past, if they sent the boys' team, the girls' team had to come also. That made it a little tougher for the OSSA to balance out the powers. Now, they tell you, the OSSA says, that their goal is to get the best 8 teams to the state tournament and not make it any harder for one regional than the others. So they want to balance the power. And I'm kind of in the minority because being an Eastside AD, I think they probably did the right thing. I mean, the east side, the west side is clearly more dominant than the east side this year. And don't like it, but it is reality, and, you know, it is what it is.
And there will be a couple perhaps teams over here on this side of the state. I know that Union plays Owosso tonight, and that could obviously have some seeding implications as well.
I think it will. I mean, they could both actually host one if, like I said, if they get 6. If the West gets 6, Union and Owosso could actually both host one. They're the 2 highest-rated teams we have on the East. Or if they get 1, then that game tonight means a lot.
Talking with Bartlesville Athletic Director Tim Bart on Bruin Buzz, 5 minutes until 10 o'clock on K1, AM 1400, FM 93.3, and we can delve a little bit further into both the teams now. Actually, before we do that, let's talk about signing day because we haven't touched on that yet. I know this morning we spoke a little bit off-air. Bartlesville quarterback Colton Penrod didn't have that scholarship offer as quick as those other 4 guys that signed on Wednesday, I believe it was. But Colton signed this morning with UCO, and of course you had 4 other football players signed to play collegiately on the actual national signing day on Wednesday, and very cool to see them and their families on hand and take pictures and stuff like that and get to go play at the next level for free.
Yeah, you know, that's that reward of that's the years of hard work, the years of our, you know, early morning workouts, going in the summer lifting and doing agility drills. That's the reward, that day that you sign that scholarship and you know, you're going to college for free. I was really kind of bewildered that Colton Penrod did not have more offers. It really, and the reason was, as coaches were telling Coach McKee, it was because he's left-handed. And they'd have to change their offense, or they'd have to do something different, which I really don't understand. I'm not proclaiming to be a football expert, but that really just blew my mind because I think he's a outstanding football player and a competitor. And I think he would be a great addition to any football team.
And he's going to play down in Edmond. And then, of course, you had four other guys sign on Wednesday. A.J. Parker with Kansas State, Tristan Crowder with Missouri State, Isaac Barham with Northeastern Oklahoma State, and Kemar Gray with Northwestern Oklahoma State. So nice to see some of those guys stay in the area. And even A.J., who will be going out of state, if things go according to plan, he will be playing in about the two biggest venues you could play in inside his home state in Oklahoma against Oklahoma or Oklahoma State later on in his career, which is pretty cool.
Yeah, and I was trying to think, we were talking the other day about, when the last time we had a kid that, signed at that high of a level. And, it may go back to Jared Hicks back in the early 2000s that signed at Arkansas and had a wonderful career at Arkansas. But that kind of happened quick. Their defense coordinator, Tom Hazy, came in, last week and visited with him. And he went up there over the weekend and took a visit and met with Coach Snyder, and boom, he had his offer and his scholarship in hand. So that's exciting. And like you say, the Big 12, if you can get a Big 12 offer, that's pretty impressive.
And it was really cool to see his parents. I know his dad had on a K-State hat, a K-State polo, and a K-State pullover, and they were obviously getting into it. And that was, half the fun was watching the parents on Wednesday morning get to see their kids sign that letter of intent, because that was a proud moment for them on a lot of levels, too.
Yeah, I always say that, once your child goes to college and you pay money for your kid to go to college, you automatically become a fan of that school, and you wear gear. Wherever you went to college, it doesn't matter anymore. You just don't pull for them on Saturday, but those bloodlines are thicker that all of a sudden you start buying a lot of purple. So the Parker family's all decked out in purple. So that's fun and exciting. Now at the end of the year, we'll pull all of our athletes that are going to college next year to compete. We'll have one big party in May. And they'll all be there wearing their college choices, and their families and parents and grandparents will be there. We'll have some cake and punch and have a big celebration. I think last year was kind of a record year. I think last year we had 16 that went on to play college athletics, and we could break that record this year.
Yeah, I was going to mention that because there's several swimmers and
cross-country
runners.
Couple
and
soccer players signed this week.
Yeah.
So it's going to be that number's going to be up there this year.
Well, Bruin Fieldhouse tonight, Sepulpa coming into town. Good chance for both the teams to play quality clubs on their home floor and maybe get an upset victory. 6:30 for the girls, boys right after, and you can listen to those games, of course, as always, here on K1. Coach Bart, appreciate it. We'll see you tonight.
Thanks a lot, Evan.
This is One-on-One with a Professional on AM 1400 K1, a sponsored opportunity to talk about the people, products, and services.